has one too.
Hey, sort of. Okay.
Kinda.
Yes, there it is.
Woohoo! IT baby.
Okay. All right. To Brent Lane, the richest man in town. Thank you so much. How are you?
Good. How
are you doing? Dang it. Okay, here. Let's.
Not work. Okay.
Oh, there you
You've
go.
Gotta just ever so gently. Right. All right. Well, good morning.
We'll do this.
Pensacola, and, good morning, Candy.
Good morning. What is your name, good sir?
This Walker Wilson.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
What do you do for people that don't know you?
You know, I am the executive director of the Downtown Improvement Board. And
oh, my gosh. I've
been there for almost 6 years, which is insane to think about, which is also
that's
about
crazy.
How long ago COVID was. So that's how I remember. That's when I started.
I was going to say, yeah, I had never even heard of it before. And then John Peacock's like, no, we do this thing.
Yes.
This is several years ago. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's been fun.
Right. Well, welcome to the show.
It is good
welcome
to be
show.
Back.
Yay.
It is good to be here. Good to be here with you. And now we got a working microphone so we can rock and roll.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Do not apologize.
Inside.
I'm just...
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us.
Yes,
we really appreciate
it. It is
you.
Good to be here. It is good to be here. So,
and I've heard you on the show many times. You've done it here by yourself before, correct?
I have, yeah, which is always terrifying.
Oh, so. You're fantastic. I've listened to you.
I'll
I'm
try
one of those
and...
weird. I sit in my car and listen. Like,
yes.
One of those. I'm one of you people.
Well, we did have some difficulties with the microphone. Andrew, I think, was trying to sabotage us and unplugged everything.
We
had to deal with it. A good little prank to start our Tuesday off. Good morning, everybody. Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay as he is off this week. Andrew heard that there's a superintendent referendum deciding if we're going to have, keep an appointed superintendent or go back to an elected. And unfortunately, management decided to appoint me to run the show today. And so you're stuck with me for the next 4 hours. So here we are. I did get some kind of breaking news last night about Escambia County, and that the Escambia County Library Service Director, Crystal Bear Rivera, submitted her resignation yesterday. On Monday, August the 10th, her resignation is effective September 9th, giving the 30 days notice that the county requires. And the county statement did not explain or give a reason of why she submitted her resignation. But this is definitely an interesting turn of events as she was just made the permanent Library Service Director just back in March, and probably one of the more, I guess, kind of contentious county hiring processes we've had especially around the library director. There was some back and forth with the Library Governance Board, the county administrator, even some conversations around the mayor's office and the commissioners and aides getting involved in that whole process. And so this will be interesting if we ever get details of why the resignation was submitted or not. We may not. Ultimately, the county commission did vote to affirm West Marino, the county administrator's choice in selecting Bell Rivera. They affirmed that decision 4-1 on March the 5th. So we will dive a little bit into that later on in the show. And Candy, do we need to hit some commercials real quick and we'll come back with everybody?
We absolutely
All right.
can.
Awesome.
Sure. It is 516 News Radio 92.3. Walker, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You've still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia and RSV. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and can help protect you from getting really sick. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. See more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
When I hit my 50s, I felt like things were slowing down.
This is Sandra's Metamucil story.
I started taking Metamucil for digestion, but had no idea it would impact so much more. Not only did Metamucil help me feel more regular, but my heart health saw the benefits too.
Metamucil, one simple routine, four health benefits. Digestive health starts here. Go to Metamucil.com for more details.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
Say that I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep, because everything is never as it seems. Because I get 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs.
Right, good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. It is good to be here, and it's good to be here with you, Candy. So,
it's awesome to be here morning. With you. This is cool. Yeah. We're talking about, I used to live in East Hill.
That's right.
You live, I live in East Hill. Isn't exactly. It the best? It is one of the best areas.
It is. It's a good.
All of our areas are best.
I feel like everything's only 10 minutes away.
It is, and so, there's a Publix now. How
exactly,
cool is that?
Exactly.
I know.
And,
remember when it was new?
Yeah,
I do. And the late Moose, may he rest in peace.
Yes. Oh, yes, Moose. I forgot about Moose.
Cat.
I think they still have his little dedication. Yeah, he would just be, cat would jump up in the back of people's cars when they're putting their groceries away. That was awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah. That's East Hill.
Yeah, that is.
That's the beauty of East Hill.
That is. And we, again, we were mentioned, Candy asked what I did for my day job, other than spotlighting as Andrew McKay in the morning. I've worked for the Downtown Improvement Board. I've been the executive director there since 2020. And we are getting a new Publix downtown.
Spring and Garden,
yeah, Spring and Garden,
yeah. That's what D.C. Reeves said. He was in here a few weeks ago. Yeah. That's exciting.
It is exciting. And I know a lot of people, you know, you're always going to see all kinds of comments on Facebook that, you know, do we need another Publix? Do we need,
yes.
You know, obviously everybody wants a Trader Joe's. It's like we got our Costco now. Let's continue to fight for our Trader Joe's.
Have you ever been to a Trader Joe's? I've never
I have.
Oh,
yeah.
You have? Okay.
Yeah, in Tallahassee, because it's right off of I-10. At, you know, if you're going to the Capitol or you're going to Florida State or if you're just driving down I-10 and you got friends that want you to stop and everybody sends a list in and you bring back a Trader Joe's haul, if you will. So, but you've got a ton of apartment complexes downtown. You've got two that are being built right now. You've got, you know, Southtown, obviously, on Jefferson, that's been there mm-hmm. for a while. You've got Palmilla, which is just a few blocks away from where this Publix is going to go. So you're going to have several thousand people living in downtown Pensacola. If the Hard Rock ever, you know, comes to fruition, which it's certainly moving that way and making the right strides on getting across the finish line and us starting to see something there at Maritime Park, you're going to have some residents there. You've got a new couple hotels going in the downtown core.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a lot more people in downtown Pensacola. And so I think, you know, Publix knows what they're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know Everman's is like, no.
Yeah.
And I like Everman's too.
Yeah.
But we need another grocery store.
Right. And I think too, Everman's is kind of like Apple Market in my mind. Like they've got their cult following. Those people are not going to, you know, leave Everman's or Apple Market high and dry. I know Apple Market had, when the new Publix came in East Hill, they had, you know, some dips because I think Pensacola, we love something new and everybody likes to go. When something's brand new and check it out. But I think, you know, they had a little bit of a down when that
I think a lot
Publix
of people took
in.
Pay cuts to stay there. I
yeah,
know David.
Right, yeah. David Apple is just like a top-notch human being.
I used to work at another radio station. I worked at TK 101, mm-hmm. and I worked at Cat Country. And in between there, I worked at the Apple Market for about a year, delivering to the homebound and the elderly. So, yeah, he was ahead of that before everybody else was. But, yeah, they sure did take a hit after Publix.
Yeah, my cousin, she worked at Apple Market forever and met her now husband there, and they've got two little kids.
Who's your cousin?
Elizabeth Morgan.
Shut up! Yeah. Oh my god! Yeah. Oh my god! Yeah. I love her.
Yes.
Sorry, this is weird. Yeah, that, off the air. Yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah, I was just with. I was up in. They moved back to Georgia, where she's from.
Mamie.
Mamie. Yes, yeah. That's her first name.
And I love her husband. I love her kids. Yeah, yeah, that is a family affair right there.
I know. Me and all my cousins.
So I know your uncle.
Yeah.
I know your whole family.
Yeah, you know everybody. Yeah.
I do.
The uncle might be my dad. Her uncle would be my.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You're related to her and yes. not the husband. Okay, yeah. I know the whole husband's family.
Oh, yeah.
But that's awesome. Yeah.
So too funny.
You
too
come
funny.
From the best stock.
You know, I try. I try.
Mamie.
Mamie. Yeah. White. And we all go by our our middle names. So my first name is actually James. So which is just and.
My husband is a James, and he's Darren. Yeah. So that's great.
Too
well,
good.
That's fantastic.
Too good.
You're so wonderful.
Well, thanks for tuning in to me and Candy catching up here on the air this morning.
Sorry about that. I know. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I'm going to have to tell her. I was with them up in Georgia this weekend. That's too good.
They moved?
Yes. She moved back home.
On Facebook more. Okay. There's a movie called The Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, and I didn't watch it because I thought it would be racist. And it's, I mean, I'm sure that they are, right? Because they're these awful people in West Virginia, but there's a head character named Mamie White.
The biggest, baddest of all the whites.
Oh,
we watched that back in high school.
She's the one that made me watch it.
Yes. So, oh, my God. That-
anyway, but yeah, Walker Boy, that's great.
This
man.
Is getting too good.
Yeah,
this is fun.
But yeah, so I'm watching the Apple Market and watching, of course, yeah, and I'm sure Everman's will welcome the competition. The public has different things, and it's nice to have choices.
It is.
And you're doing an amazing job. Downtown is.
It's been fun. It's been, you know, so many different projects going on downtown, and the new Palafox is, you know, essentially
it's
90%
great.
Done. They're doing the side streets, and then government will be the last road that gets done, and it's actually going to be redone all the way from Balin to the west, all the way over to Tarragona on the east side.
Great.
And so all in front of Seville, and I know the Mitchells have been yelling from the rooftops for a long time that I think they feel as if they were promised at some point in the past that the city was going to come in and fix some of those sidewalks, and the sidewalks over there and the curbs are pretty bad. And so all that should be getting fixed. And I think that government shutdown will probably cause some headaches just because that is a good little stretch, you know, of three blocks downtown that'll be blocked off. But, you know, the main portion of Palafox, the rest of those side streets are going to remain open. Parking is still free. The mayor announced that a while ago. Till October 1st, they will start charging again. So we still have a good, you know, about 2 months of free parking downtown. And that is city parking. That is the teal signs. You know that it's city parking if it's only got two digits for the zone number. All the private lots have four digits or will have a letter and some digits as the zone numbers. Typically, those are red or green signs. And the only exception to city parking is that the Jefferson Garage, if you park in the garage, you do still have to pay for that because there are some businesses that purchase spots for their employees to park in there, and having those permits and everything was going to be a little tricky for them to create that entire garage to be free with those businesses have already essentially paid for those spots for the year. So, but downtown's been doing great. We're gearing up for going into our next fiscal year. We just had a DIB board meeting yesterday morning, approved our budget for next year. So we'll send that off to the city as the Downtown Improvement Board is a special taxing district. So only those people inside the DIB boundaries are the ones that pay an extra $2 mils on their property tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to send that budget over to the city. They've got to, you know, wave their wand and approve it. And then we'll get rolling into next year, starting October 1st. And one of the emphasis that our board wants to make is putting and investing into Ferdinand Plaza down there across from Jackson Steakhouse and O'Reilly's and the Pensacola History Museum. That is where Andrew Jackson, the Spanish surrendered Florida to the United States back in the day, and Andrew Jackson took Florida there, that park. Him and his wife lived, Abigail, or is that Abigail Adams? Not, anyways, too early for all that.
Is that why they call it that? Like, I'm learning all this right now as it's happening. That's great.
Andrew Jackson. And so his house was actually where World of Beer is, or 200 South is what it's now. There's a plaque on the side of 200 South that that's where he lived. So it's very cool. And then
I need to do more than order nachos and drinks and read. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
he was so the first cool. governor of Florida. So pretty cool history. So we're wanting to make that park a little nicer. We certainly have trampled on it with opening up our second location of the Palafox Market. Down in that park, we obviously have been at MLK Plaza for years, and about 2 years ago now, we opened Palafox Market South at Plaza or Ferdinand Plaza, and so the grass is a little worn into dirt now in some areas, and so we want to make intention to make that nice, at least get us back to a baseline of make sure all the electrical in the park is working, that the irrigation's working. Can we come in and purchase some furniture to put in the park so people can enjoy it? And we do have some tables out there that one of the restaurants lent us during the close down of Palafox. So shout out to Cons. Thanks for the tables
we've
got
Cons. Up
there.
Yeah.
But I think we're looking at getting some new tables, bistro tables like they've got in some of the parks in New York City that we'll put out. So we ordered a test batch that should arrive on Monday that I'm sure I'll be putting together, and we'll set out there in the park and see if those work and try and get something a little nicer and newer out there. But the city is also, through the CRA, they are dedicating some funds to the parks downtown, and are taking over the maintenance from Parks and Rec on those downtown parks. So we'll talk with Jennifer Breyer, city councilwoman, later about that in the show. We have State Representative Alex Andrade calling in at the 6 o'clock hour. City Council Vice President Jennifer Breyer is calling in at 6:30. I thought we were going to have David Baer be able to call in at 7, but he was unable to call in. So we'll see what I come up with to talk about. Then at 7:30, we're going to have Sheriff Chip Simmons in the studio. 8 o'clock, when polls open this morning for early voting, Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender will be here, and then we'll close out the show at 8:30, a little bit later on, with District 4 Escambia County School Board member Carissa Burgosh to get us ready for the first day of school in Escambia County tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Do you have kids?
I do not. Oh, no. Okay. So I don't have to go to school tomorrow, which is probably good for everybody.
You don't have to hold up that chalk.
That's
then.
Right. Yes.
We can do it for the DIV. It has been a thousand days
a thousand
or whatever.
Days.
Yeah. That's great. I'm glad. Right. Palafox is phenomenal, by the way. Don't you love it?
Yeah, I love it.
That was phenomenal. Great job. And we'll head over to David with news.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A busy Tuesday for voters. We start in Minnesota with a focus on the left.
Establishment-backed candidate Representative Angie Craig faces a far more progressive candidate, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Now, moving over to Wisconsin, where that governor's race is getting a lot of attention as well. Among the candidates, there's Representative Francesca Hong, the front runner, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Fox's Alex Hogan reporting the winner takes on presumptive Republican nominee Congressman Tom Tiffany, backed by President Trump in South Carolina.
You've got to do it. It's the best thing. You're the best person for it.
President Trump during a tele-rally for interim Senator Darlene Graham. She's running for the seat left open by the death of her brother, Senator Lindsey Graham. Voters go to the polls in Vermont, Alabama, and Connecticut. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio, 92.3, 75 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies. We're going to get a full look at our forecast. That's up in just a couple of minutes. Escambia County's 31,000 students head back to class tomorrow morning. Superintendent Keith Leonard says a district-wide A grade in the 25-26 school year sets a strong foundation as we head into the new year.
Which really brings us to the 26-27 school year and holding on to that excitement. Continuing to push our students academically, offering them just endless opportunities as it relates to career academies, whether it be getting ready for college or career or the military. And I really believe what we do in the Escambia County School District is second to none in providing those opportunities to our students.
Leonard also highlighted a milestone for Longleaf Elementary, which is adding a seventh grade this year and will become the district's first full K through 8 school next year. West Pensacola and Cordova Park are maintaining K through 6. Leonard says drivers should expect hundreds of buses on the road tomorrow morning and is asking everybody to pack their patience. The man injured in a shooting last Friday on Haver Way and Medford Avenue has now died, according to the Escambia Sheriff's Office. That man was originally taken to the hospital after shots were fired between cars in a Pensacola neighborhood, with a possible suspect taken into custody at the time. Deputies say the investigation is ongoing. No other details have been released on that. Pensacola State College has named its 2026 Athletics Hall of Fame class. J.J. Cannon, Bill Hamilton, Shonda Rigby, and Jody Skelton. Cannon went on to a 38-year professional baseball career after being the first Pensacola Junior College Pirate ever drafted into Major League Baseball. Hamilton coached Pirates baseball for two decades, later served as athletic director. Rigby led PSC to two NJCAA Final Four appearances, then built Troy University's basketball program into a Sun Belt powerhouse. And Skelton spent 35 years shaping youth athletics for the city of Pensacola. All four will be inducted at a ceremony on September 24th. Well, some new details coming out in Saturday's deadly standoff in Okaloosa County. The sheriff's office there has identified the man now who fired at deputies as being 29-year-old Antonio Austin Hayner, who did have warrants for misusing a firearm. Sheriff Eric Aiden says deputies used SWAT tactics after Hayner refused to surrender, but he also said deputies never actually fired at Hayner themselves. He was pronounced dead at the scene. It's still unclear how he died. FDLE is reviewing the death as standard procedure. The investigation into that incident is ongoing. Well, former NFL player Marcellus Wiley won't be facing charges after he was arrested last month at the World Center Marriott following a complaint from his wife. She accused him of poking her cheek and threatening to kill her. Wiley denied the allegations. Prosecutors say they lacked evidence to move forward with a conviction. In that case, it's 5:35. Let's check in with Brooke Richardson, who's got our forecast.
We are going to be seeing mostly sunny skies today with a 30% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, 20% chance of rain, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Keeping that nice weather around on Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a 20% chance of rain, high near 93. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 75 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Your money now. A new report says that preventable safety management failures contributed to the August 2025 explosions at U.S. Steel's Clairton Cove Works facility. The incident killed two workers, injured 11 others, and caused more than $52 million in property damage. U.S. Steel is now facing 10 violations and $118,000 in fines. Intel has announced a $15 billion common stock offering to support skyrocketing customer AI demand. The company said it had priced the stock offering at $95 a share and upsized the offer to $20 billion. It said the proceeds would be used for general corporate purposes. OpenAI has completed a secondary share sale totaling roughly $7 billion. CNBC reports that the tender offer has been in the works since OpenAI closed its record-breaking $122 billion funding round in March. Futures are mixed, with all eyes on the Middle East. That's your money now.
Tune in today at 10 as Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports' focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in today at 10 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing the upcoming events that are on their calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Did you know? Economic development is not about slogans. It is about outcomes. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to recruit and support businesses that generate high-wage jobs, significant capital investment, and long-term tax-based growth. That means stronger public services and a more competitive Escambia County without raising taxes. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Hi, this is DC Reeves. Together, we are moving Pensacola in the right direction. My priorities are building a healthy economy with good careers and keeping our community safe. I will always support our small businesses and back the blue. Let's keep working as a team to move Pensacola forward. I'm DC Reeves, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th.
DC Reeves is endorsed by Sheriff Chip Simmons and the Fraternal Order of Police. Paid for by DC Reeves for Mayor.
Talking about it.
The midterm elections. Who will win? Who will not?
One question about the 2026 races is already answered.
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.
Every step, every day.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Right here. Right now.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We do have the text lines open, and you can text in whenever you would like to 850-437-1620. We got a big show coming up for you today. We'll have State Representative Alex Andrade on. In about an hour, we've got City Councilwoman Jennifer Breyer. We'll have Chip Simmons, Sheriff Chip Simmons in studio, as well as Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender and school board member from District 4, Carissa Burgosh, to get us ready to go to school tomorrow morning in Escambia County. Santa Rosa started back yesterday. And again, I mentioned Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender will be with us. It is early voting. It started this past Saturday. Early voting will run through this Saturday, the 15th. I believe they've got 9 or 10 early voting locations that if you're a registered voter in Escambia County, you can go to any of those early voting locations, and they will pull your specific ballot to let you go ahead and vote. Usually this will be a huge time saver for you instead of trying to go on Election Day. Some people like to go on Election Day, which is next Tuesday, 1 week from today, August 18th. Also my birthday, so happy birthday to me. Go vote for me. You don't have to get me anything, just go vote, right? And I know Robert's birthday is either it's the day before or day after mine. I always forget. But
Robert Bender's our election guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
neat. He can't celebrate.
That's right. Yeah. I can't remember.
Right.
But anyways.
He still has to count.
That's right. So as of last night, after the polls closed, there have been 14,892 voters that have gone ahead and submitted their vote either by mail or by early voting. So we have got... we'll go into those numbers a little bit later with Robert and make sure that you know where to vote, how to vote, And if you still are going to mail your ballot in, that you get that in on time and that it still will be counted. So one of the big things that is on the ballot, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, registered as a no-party affiliate, every single voter in Escambia County will have at least one question on their ballot, and that is the superintendent referendum that the school board placed on the primary election next Tuesday. And I'll go ahead and read what that says. It is: Escambia County School District referendum. Shall the superintendent of schools of Escambia County, Florida, be elected by the majority of the qualified electors of Escambia County, Florida? Your options are yes or no. So what does that mean? A yes vote means that we would go back to having a partisan election for the superintendent of schools like we had for so many decades. A no vote on that referendum would mean that we keep the system that we've got in place now, where the elected school board hires and or fires the superintendent of schools. And this narrowly passed back in 2018. I was part of Pensacola Young Professionals at the time. We took this up as an issue the year I was president. Worked with D.C. Reeves, was working for Quint Studer at the time, and we worked with their staff on really pushing to go to an appointed superintendent system where the school board hires and fires the superintendent of schools, can do a nationwide search to go out and try and find the best person to lead our school district, someone that's not having to set up and gear up for an election, for a campaign, and go fundraise every 4 years to stay in that job. It gives the ability for the school board to set, you know, standards or metrics for the superintendent to hit. And if they don't, they are able to relieve that person of their duties. And when this was decided back in 2018, I think it was the sixth time that it had been on the ballot. So now this will be the seventh time it's on the ballot for voters over the past 50 years in Escambia County. And 2018 was the first time that it actually passed and that the voters in Escambia County chose to have an appointed superintendent of schools. And it passed narrowly. I mean, countywide and the general election at that time, it was in November when we voted on this, it won by only 900 votes out of, I think, you know, probably close to 180,000 or 200,000 votes that were cast in that November election in 2018. So we're talking razor thin margins.
Like a kitten's hair.
I know. It's crazy that you can have stuff, you know.
Well, you don't think your vote's going to count, but it does. Yeah. I mean, it clearly does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's important that everybody goes out and votes in the primary this week during early voting, or next week on election day on Tuesday the 18th. Because this is a very big choice that we've got. We have five school board members that are all directly elected by the people. And to me, you know, the superintendent of schools is much more of a CEO than a traditional political office. You know, someone that's responsible for tens of thousands of students, thousands of employees, and hundreds of millions of dollars, transportation, academics, facilities, discipline, personnel, and school district is really a huge, huge organization. And I think probably for most people, it is what you pay the most for in property tax each year when you go to pay your property tax bill. So we will catch some commercials, and then we will be right back, and we'll talk about this superintendent referendum a little bit more.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Every piece of jewelry has a story. Some start with a yes, Some start with, this belonged to my grandmother. Some start with, can we turn this into something new? However the story begins, the right jeweler helps it last. With custom design, careful restoration, and engagement rings built to last generations, Beret Jewelers has helped Pensacola keep those stories shining strong. Beret Jewelers, 40 years of coastal shine.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Santa Rosa, I'm Jill Broxson-Teston, and I'm running for school board. As a parent of four children in our public schools, I have a personal stake in ensuring every student receives a quality education. Our district faces real financial challenges, and we need creative, responsible solutions that put students first while supporting the educators who help them succeed every day. Together, we can build strong schools, support our teachers, and prepare our kids for the future. I'm Jill Broxson-Teston, and I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We do have those text lines open. You can text anytime with questions, comments, concerns, or to just let me know how bad of a job or great of a job I'm doing this morning.
You are doing fantastic.
Candy's going to
tell
me
I'm
you're doing
great.
Good, though.
You
so
really
if
are.
You say
you
something
do this
mean,
job.
It's okay.
Yeah, I will look
you
up your number
up.
And hunt you down
right.
And live with... No. I've gotten in trouble for that before.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
I mean, well, you know
we'll
me.
Just
you
yeah.
know me.
Yeah. You can text in at 8.
Don't talk mess. Yeah. Won't be no mess.
That's right. Text in at 850-437-1620. We were talking about it is early voting week. You know, you can go and vote at any of those early voting locations around the county, no matter where you live. You can go drop into any of those and cast your vote, or you can wait till Election Day and go vote at your polling place.
Did you vote yet?
On August 18th. I did, yeah. I mailed mine in, and it just makes things easier in that way. I can not forget to go do it, and I can sit there, and if I need to Google somebody or Google an issue, I can have it in front of me and do that.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So it makes it easy.
Yeah, they get mad when you snap pictures. And
yeah.
I'm writing in Spider-Man, though. I'm trying to be funny, Amy.
That's right, yeah. And and they text me when they got the ballot and that they had received it. And so, yeah, it's
I
great.
I didn't know that. I won't mail in vote because they would talk about it in the news and it scared me. So you want to go in. But I didn't know that. They text you when they get the ballot?
They text me when they received it. So I knew that it was there. So
how
and
about
you can,
that, everybody?
You can also go on the Supervisor of Elections website and track your ballot. You can just Google Escambia County Supervisor, track my ballot if you mailed it in, and track and see where it's at in the process.
Oh, there
you go. Whether you've requested one, they're mailing it to you, or whether you've sent it back in. So... we can get Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender to talk about some of that when he comes on later in the show.
That's cool.
So, you know, we were talking about the superintendent referendum, which is on every single voter's ballot in Escambia County, whether you're non-party, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, you know, whatever party you are affiliated with, you have at least one thing on your ballot on August 18th, and that is... should the voters of Escambia County directly elect their superintendent of schools? And so if you vote yes on that referendum, that means you'd like to go back to electing the superintendent of schools countywide. If you vote no, you would rather stay with the system we have now of an appointed superintendent, which was voted on last in 2018, won by 900 votes countywide in the general election. Now it is on the primary election where typically you have less folks show up and vote So it's very, very important that you get out and cast your vote for your favorite candidates. And I hope that you would vote no on this referendum to keep the appointed superintendent. To me, it gives our students, our teachers, our support staff, and our school district the best option for success and having the best person in that job that we can to run probably the largest government agency that we've got in Escambia County, and that is Escambia County Public Schools. You've got just over 30,000, I think it's 32,000 students that are enrolled in Escambia County Public Schools. I went to public school kindergarten through 12th grade here in Escambia County.
Which one did you go to?
I went to Scenic Heights, Ferry Pass, and Booker T. Washington High School.
Hey, go so Wildcats.
Go Wildcats.
We've only had Wildcats on this week
that's
so far.
Right. Well, that's all there is. No. All the people in Cantonment went to Tater like, rah. Yeah. So, you know, public schools in the state of Florida are certainly going through a huge transformation with the state allowing for the money that follows your student to follow them to private school, to charter schools. So you are paying your property tax, sending it off to the state of Florida to through their school portion and to Escambia County. And many students, you know, we had over 40,000 students enrolled in Escambia County schools maybe 5 or 6 years ago. We've seen drop off of about 8,000 students enrolled because they're taking this voucher, taking the tax dollars that you pay on your property tax and taking that to private schools where you don't vote for who's on the board for the private school. You don't vote for who the principal is of the private school. So in a sense, you are already paying your property tax and not getting a say in students' education with your public tax dollars. I think choice is a good thing. I think parents should be able to, choose where their students go to school and how their students get, their kids get an education. And so I think, the voucher program is good because not every student, public school may not be a good fit for every student. And you may want your child to grow up and go to, a Christian school and be surrounded with, education that involves your religion. And that's important to people. But I think people often say, we want to go back to having a direct elected superintendent because I want them to be accountable to me and the taxes that I pay on my property. And an elected superintendent, unlike the school board, which is nonpartisan, where everybody gets to vote on who runs for office, the superintendent of schools is a partisan election. So you would have primaries for candidates to get, the Republican nomination, the Democrat nomination, and go into a general and a partisan election. And you, in my mind, limit your pool of candidates to just folks that most likely are local. They're able to, they've got good connections. They're able to put together a campaign, raise money, put together a countywide campaign, which I cannot even imagine. I ran for office a couple of times now. Once for school board and once for county commission, and just running in a district, it is, that's already enough and a lot as it is. And I can't imagine running a countywide campaign as well as trying to be the superintendent of schools and lead an organization with 30,000 students and thousands of employees and try to be winning an election.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're shaking hands and kissing babies and, while trying to do your job.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I think the appointed superintendent gives the school board, who we do directly elect, the opportunity to relieve that person of their duties if they're not doing a good job. And the three people that put this back on the ballot that are on the school board that are advocating to go back to an elected superintendent are the same three people that voted to fire Superintendent Tim Smith early from his contract. So to me, it's a little counterintuitive on their part, but they want to go back to an elected superintendent where if Tim Smith had been elected and they didn't like the job he was doing, they were stuck. you got to wait till the next election to vote somebody out. And even then, it's hard to beat an incumbent if they run for reelection. I think you also look at, you know, if the superintendent, no matter who it is, has, you know, a personal issue or messes up. I think of Are we back? Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah. The microphone's a little messy.
I have an idea. I'll fix it after this next hour.
If you got a superintendent, like when I was in high school, Superintendent Jim Paul, who was down at a conference in Tampa, made the wrong decision to get behind the wheel of a car after he had several drinks and got a DUI. He didn't end up running for reelection, but he could have. And I think probably, you know, two-time incumbent at that point in time probably would have had a decent shot at you know, re-election. I don't know that the voters would have liked to vote for a superintendent that had just recently gotten a DUI. But again, I think, you know, an appointed superintendent gives the school board the ability to remove somebody that messes up, that's not going with how they think the voters see public education being run in Escambia County. And it opens the field up to a nationwide search of being able to get the best person to put in place in this job that runs an $800 million organization with 32,000 students, thousands of employees. And to me, they can really reward that person if they're doing a good job. And if they're not doing a good job, they can take immediate action to move on to someone new. And, you know, if you want to directly elect your superintendent, I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that, you know, that's obviously – that's America, right? We like to vote for who serves and who is watching over our tax dollars. I just, you know, feel that the appointed way is the better way to go. So anyways, that's just my opinion on that. And again, just make sure that you're going out and voting.
And you can educate yourself on who you're voting for. And I know Robert Bender will talk about that in a little bit.
That's right. And so you've got a week till election day. So if you're unaware of this topic, you certainly do your own research and go out and figure out, you know, how you want to vote on that and how you want to vote on the other candidates that are going to be on the ballot. So we've got a big election next week, and then we'll go see who makes it out of the primaries, go into November for the general election, and see who comes out on top.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah. So we will take a break, and we will be back.
I wish I could elect our engineers.
Yes. So
I just kidding. I'm going to try to get everything working. Walker Wilson sitting in this morning for Andrew McCain. Walker, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah,
this is so neat to get to know you, too, on this, the amazing things you do in this area. We appreciate you. It's News Radio 92.3. David up next with news.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.